special budget meeting council for November 21st, 2025 to order. Start with roll call.
Councilor Lonely Hoskin.
Councilor Debbie Zulak.
Treasurer Roshan Kantia.
Councilor Nick Ryland.
Councilor Mike Hakkinen.
Clerk Administrator Carly Brighton.
Mayor David Moore. Any declarations of pecuniary and or personal interest in the general nature thereof? Hearing none. Resolution 25-506, moved by Councilor Hoskin, second by Councilor Zulak. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby approve the agenda for this special meeting of Council as presented. Any discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge the land in which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robinson-Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. To honor the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they have carried for thousands of years, we pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit, and work towards truth and reconciliation. Now, even though this is a special budget meeting, we do have a delegation from Pam Wing, the chair of the Belvedere Heights Board of Management. This is to tie in with our budget discussions afterwards, so we just thought it was appropriate. This is a good timing for Pam to explain what Belvedere may be looking for in the new year. Okay, so I'll turn it over to Pam Wing. She got a mic there?
Yep, okay. Am I on?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor Moore and Council, for the opportunity. I think I should preface this, since it's a budget meeting, I'm not asking for money. I'm not honest. I'm not giving you any back, but I'm not asking for any. So, but I want to, it's nice to have the opportunity to give you an update on where we are in Belvedere and what the plan is for 2026, it will probably be early 2027, when we open the building and the debenture kicks in, the debenture that we're using to fund the build. So you have a PowerPoint presentation. I can review that if you'd like quickly, and then we can have discussion, or it's whatever you would like.
Well, I think PowerPoint for the public, I don't know who all is on there, but I think it'd be useful.
Okay. I think that the key is, here's the first piece is the new bill financing. Here's what we have, what we know, and we're pretty tight on this. The net cost to be financed over 25 years is $11.53 million. And infrastructure payments of $756,623 at 4.3% fixed interest over 25 years. So our annual construction subsidy, which we get from the government, is $333,000. And the residual annual that we are going to have to come up with, funded by Belvedere, will be funded from economies of scale. So what our plan is to cover everything based on what we've got from the government and what we have received in grants, and what we are going to use for economies of scale, because there will be, as you'll understand, economies of scale. When we add 22 units, we're not adding everything. We're obviously adding nurses, because we will need nurses. We won't need a new laundry. We probably won't need any laundry staff. We might need one more building staff. So we'll have a great deal of economies of scale on that. So that will fund the additional that we didn't get from the government and that we don't get through to fund the debenture. The way the debenture system works, and I think this is the thing that you probably do want to know, once we've substantial completion, within 90 days of that, the loan is converted to a debenture. Right now, we have a construction loan, and we're paying the interest on that loan, which is funded by the municipalities of Seguin, McDougall, and Carling. And so what's happening is it's the same thing as the debenture. The request comes in for a certain amount. We put that into the municipality. They pay it. So again, they're not paying it. We're paying it, but we're using the municipalities as our funding management, because We got a better deal from IO if we went with the ministries, or which are went with the municipalities. We got a better interest rate. It was less complicated because you folks always borrow for debentures, and they're comfortable with municipalities borrowing. They know what you do. You know what a debenture, how a debenture works. So that's why we went with the that way, using IO financing, but through the municipalities. So all eight municipalities, which are the eight owners of Belvedere, are asked to enter into this debenture structure for 25-year fixed monthly payment, and we'll transfer it to you in advance of the IO payment date. We're guaranteeing the funds required for each owner, and we'll provide promissory note and loan guarantee. That being said, or in any unforeseen circumstances, we won't be asking for any more money. That's why I said I'm not coming for money at this point. So we're financing all costs, and the owners, we're asking the owners to just take the debenture in terms of making the financing simpler. You have a slide that talks about the actual 25-year debenture, your proportionate share, and McKellar share is 6.77%, which estimates at 2026 would be $780,605. That's what you would be covering as a debenture. And what that does is that amount goes into your borrowing. So I think the issue for municipalities is to make sure that you can cover that borrowing and it doesn't interfere with anything else you are doing. For example, Carling is building a fire hall, and we will have to debenture that. So we will have to make sure that we have enough room for both, quote-unquote, debentures, which is what municipalities will have to do. We have come up with a bit of an interesting conundrum. IO debenture formula relates, I think, to your taxes by population, the amount collected by that. Seguin can only go to $2.6 million based on the way IO determines their formula for debentures, which means that there is normally it would have been $4.16 million their share, and now it's down to $2.6 million. So what we're suggesting, and it's an option, it's not, we haven't decided that, we're coming to our owners to say, here's what we would like to do if we can do it, is just proportionately share that amount over all eight owners. So if that's the case, then McKellar's share would go from 6.8 to 8.2 for a total of, instead of 780, it will go to 946,000 annually. Again, that's not money you have to give out. That's just what the debenture cost will be. And so we're asking the owners if they think that's a good option. I mean, that seemed to be the simplest option that we wanted to do. So in essence, your share for the debenture would come in at $946,142. So that's where we are. And I should give you a little bit of an update as well on the build. The build is going really well. December 15th, the administration, which as you know is on the main floor, will move to the basement. Their accommodation will be all set, and then we'll start to renovate the main floor for the home. The foundation is in for the new 10 units that are being added, and the steel, I understand, is going up maybe next week when we have our board meeting, so it should be an interesting board meeting. Might be a little loud, but the steel apparently is here, so it looks like all systems are go. We're on schedule, due to finish the end of next year, and just very exciting. We just keep it stays on schedule and on budget. So with that, I open ask you if you had any questions or if I wasn't clear on any of this, because sometimes it took me a while to get it in my head.
Well, this is where we turn it over to our treasurer to explain. We're just starting the budget process as well, so we don't know what kind of room we do have to work with. But as you say, it's not a cash outlay, I guess, but you still have to guarantee it.
Correct.
It has to be shown in the budget.
Notes, yeah.
So what do you... it looks similar to the amounts here to Well, the pool, what have we got going there? 96,000 a year? But that is cash.
Right. We provided the cash and it affects our AR limit, annual repayment limit. So that's my next question is.
You can just hold it because it doesn't work on the local.
My question is that, you know, if we're committed with this proposal, then will it affect our AR, annual repayment limit though?
Yeah, what it affects is the amount that you can borrow through IO.
Right.
So whatever your threshold is, and it's annual, it's not the total amount, it's what you can borrow annually. So it would be added into that total. So you said your pool amount, which is your own cash. I mean,
right.
This isn't cash, we're paying you, but it still has to be included. So that 946 plus what you said, 95, would be part of the threshold. I don't know what else you have, but that would be included in your annual threshold that IO will allow you to borrow.
So basically it means that for any debenture we are going to take in next coming years, we have to look at our threshold
to include it.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Which is essentially 2.5% of our levy,
yeah.
Plus fees, I know
yeah.
that much, I looked it up. But does that pose a limit on us in terms of the other things we're discussing in here for roads and things?
That's what my understanding is, because that will limit our borrowing.
What is our limit in dollars this year in 2025?
Even though the limit it shows it's 1 million, but that's based on the 2023.
Okay.
If we include the 2024, based on the 2025, then we are looking at around 800,000, 750 or 800,000, something like that.
Okay.
Because the one of the payment just started this year, which is Hardwin Road.
Okay. But that's a serious impediment, given the rest
Correct.
Of the document that you shared,
Correct.
Is that we would not be in a position to borrow by a debenture anyhow.
Right.
Which would be an imposition to us.
Yeah.
And if I might understand this right, the reason that you adjusted the sequin, I can't remember your words, the sequin cap.
The cap from my
is
the
that
cap from
issue? Yeah. Because otherwise they would be, I was going to say penalized, not really penalized, but limited as to what they could borrow from IO.
Well, they apparently they are limited, so they,
yeah.
And it has to do with the way a lot of their financing is not captured by IO. IO only captures the amount on your tax bill.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's how that works.
Yeah.
They have substantially more income and revenue. But it doesn't count for on the IO counts. That's the trick. So, so I to your point, if I understood you correctly, you said you had 700,000 borrowing.
No, actually, the limit up to the amount we can borrow in a year, as of now, even though it's a million as per our financial information, but then if I include whatever we borrowed and paying interest, because some of the project we borrowed this year and the interest are coming out and principal plus interest are coming out from this year and going forward, that will reduce our limit. So we, you know, even though financial statement says $1 million, but now from my calculation it's around 800,000, and if we include this, then you know then our limit will be lower.
Councilor Pecker.
I think what we need to do is see this on paper from the treasurer, and in case you know council looks at the capital projects for this year and want to ensure that there is the opportunity for Infrastructure Ontario funding for anything else that might be wanted, council might want to add to the ventures. I think we need to see this on paper so that we are not putting ourselves in a position where we cannot obtain the funding that we need. You know, through debenture to fund any projects that we have possibly this coming year.
Councilor Ryan?
We can borrow money from the bank as well, but I mean, what kind of differential in interest rates are we looking at? Do you know?
No idea.
We haven't borrowed that way?
No.
I didn't think so, but it would likely be a percentage or two higher.
But
what
I'm thinking. The interest rate will be higher through the bank compared to the infrastructure and trade.
Our interest rate is 4.34
right.
over the 25 years.
I see that, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree with Councillor Cuckin and what he's saying. I think the reason we wanted this is so we could get it down on paper and look at the different projects, and put that into the mix and see what we can and cannot afford. So I think it was good to have this done early to see what the expectations would be. And it would be also be interesting to hear from some of the other townships. You've already heard from Seawood, I guess, but I'm thinking Whitestone, for instance. What's going on there? And I mean, would these figures change? We're early, I know, but
well, better to be late than early. Early than late.
Right? That's right.
Yeah, because the proposal that we put forward, because of the sequin issue, is just an option. That's one of the ways we can look at it. And I think, to your point, yeah, we need to understand everybody's opportunity for borrowing, and not to, even though it's no money out of your pocket, it still counts if you want to borrow from IO. So we need to figure out the best way to fund this. And I mean, we're funding it. The dollars are ours.
Yes.
It's just the opportunity. So, you know, if a municipality can only do X percent, then we have to talk to all the municipalities, who can do what, and it's a question of who has great borrowing and who has other things. Like, as I say, we have a fire hall in Carling. What people know and getting your budget sorted in terms of what you need. Obviously, this won't be for 2026. There'll be no request. It'll be in 2027. The funding will start. So anybody who has debentures that are ending in 2026 can be figured out as well. But we have to find that out. And certainly we have to figure out how to debenture this somehow. So yeah. And I don't have the answer to that either, so
no.
Neither do you. So, but it's great to have this opportunity to talk to you about it. So, but we understand too where you are.
As well in your presentation, you mentioned the economies of scale savings. So the annual 123 bed economy of scale savings of $439,273.
That's correct.
Has there been a bit of a change in the administration management relationship with Lakeland? And
you mean with the health center?
With the health center?
Yes, we are no longer getting services from the health center. We had a management agreement which started as a result of the plan that Belvedere would close, we'd go to a campus of care. And when the ministry basically said no, you will continue with Belvedere or you can shut it down, which we would never do because we need to serve the home, the long-term care. So what we decided that was that we needed to be independent and do our own thing in terms of making sure that we get the services we need. We're missing some services out of the health center. And they're a busy health center. They don't have, we needed financial services, and they didn't have a lot of financial services to support us because they didn't have, never done a build, the people that were there hadn't done a build, so we needed service, financial acumen for the build. We needed just more than they could give us, and that was the decision to move away from them. So those economies of scales relate to out of our own, strictly our own, nothing from the health center. Now, we still buy services from the health center, which we pay for, but not the full package that we had before.
So basically my question is, does that impact the economy of scales savings that were projected when that management administration partnership took place? And I think that was mentioned at some point when that sort of transition was taking place. Is there going to be any additional, so you're showing these economy of scale savings, but because of that change in administration management, is there going to be some additional costs that were projected with that arrangement that are no longer going to be applicable, which may reduce this $439,000 number?
No, this number was done, reviewed and revised after we moved out of the management agreement. So it has all the services that we have now included, so we still know. As I mentioned, you know, economies of scale relate to, we will need more nurses for 22 beds. We won't need more, probably very little dietary staff. We won't need more laundry space or staff. We might need a couple of staff for the building. So it has taken all of that into consideration. And I should, and it, from my understanding and my looking at it, it's fairly conservative. So I'm hoping, I shouldn't say this, I hope it would be more, but it's fairly conservative. So I think we're okay in terms of those economies of scale, which we'll cover, as it shows you, everything other than what the debenture amount is.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions at this point from council? Treasurer? Whether anybody online as well would like to participate in any particular questions. Okay, hearing none. Councilor Cagney.
So basically you're saying we have as a council, we have a year to sort of provide some type of a response, preferably sooner the better, but up to a year to sort of provide an opportunity to review what's being presented and maybe think of some other provide some other options, ideas or options.
I think we need to know from you just how much you can support for the debenture. If you can't support the full amount, how much can you support? Because and the sooner the better, because we have to go to the other municipalities. And if you've come in and said, okay, we can support X, then we have to review that whole options again and put it out and talk to all the municipalities. We're going to talk to all the owners, right away, because we don't know. You're the first. The only part we know from Seguin is what IO has told us. Not, we haven't really asked to talk to Seguin about it, but that's what IO has told us. They will only allow Seguin to get into 2.6. Now, that being said, I don't know what that means to Seguin, so we have to talk to them about that as well. So you're the first on the line that we're trying this out on, and as the mayor says, we may have some challenges, but we're hoping that we can come up with enough municipalities to fund it through debenture, because it makes good sense. We've got a reasonably good financing rate. For Belvedere to do it, if you'll remember when I made that presentation before, we would have had to go through an environmental assessment, a whole list of things that were required that would mean the build would have been put off for 2 to 3 years. So we didn't see that as feasible if we had another option. And the other option was the construction loan through IO, which is now happening, and then the debenture. So it seemed to me that it was the best way to go, best move forward. So it's just a question of how we figure out the dollars and cents to our owners. And so, to your point, sooner rather than later, let me know what your threshold is.
Councilor Ryan?
Can you tell me how you decided on a 25-year term?
I think we didn't. I think IO did.
Really? Okay.
I think so. Yeah, that wasn't, I don't remember exactly. I think that was what they had recommended. Because if you remember, and I know why, because if you remember the amount we wanted was $35 per day, per month, per year for 25 years. That's how that funding formula went.
Okay.
So they would fund us that amount over the 25, annually over the 25 years. So that's why the financing would be over 25 years as well.
Because the downside is, when I calculate that, that's $18.5 million that will be paid back over 25 years. In other words, a $7 million premium for interest, which is an awful lot of money, which is what backwards factors into the issues that affect our borrowing limit from IO.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, I'm not suggesting it's wrong. I just was trying to understand.
Yeah, no, and I think and I'll confirm that, but I think that was why, because that was the deal was you got that $35 per day, per bed, for 25 years, you know, so that's why the fund. That's my understanding, and I'll confirm that.
Okay. Councilor Zulak?
And Pam, wasn't it going to be more? We had a deadline to get the figures in, right, for the
$35
a day.
$35 if we didn't get
it. So it would have been more.
Yeah. Well, we couldn't have done it without the $35
yeah.
per bed per day.
And we were rushing to get the figures in to get that $35.
We were. That's correct.
Rochelle, can I ask you, when we've done this before, in other words, we've never kind of done a communal borrowing or a debenture from IO, have we? Like with other municipalities?
Sorry, I didn't get it.
Sorry?
Sorry, I didn't get it.
Okay. Have we ever borrowed money from IO
yeah.
that involves a relationship, at least, with the other West Parry Sound and or other municipalities?
So
I can't imagine why we would, but...
The pool.
Yeah, West Parry Sound, yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's a good example, thank you.
Oh.
I don't know how I missed that, but anyhow.
But that wasn't communal. We didn't have to get an agreement with the other municipalities to borrow that money. McKellar borrowed that independently to subsidize their portion of the pool project.
Their portion. So there is a formula. That's what I'm saying. It is communal.
But we did not sign on with the other municipalities for an IO infrastructure loan.
No.
I think that's what...
And I don't know. Do you know if we will in this situation? Like, would IO expect some kind of joint agreement as part of the debenture?
My understanding is no. When we look at the construction loan, it's done with each municipality.
Okay. Okay.
And recognize that the percentage is relating to your ownership. You own X percent
right.
of Belvedere. That's how that formula started out.
Yeah.
To charge what we were borrowing, and it was 6.8% from McKellar.
Okay.
And so on. So it's your ownership. It's what you own. You own 6.8% of Belvedere.
And we question that weighted assessment they come up with over the years. It's never really been explained.
My understanding was the ministry that did it. It doesn't make sense, and it's the whole piece doesn't make sense, but it is what it is. So we have to work with it. So yeah.
Councilor Zula,
do you remember about the hospital? Was that done that way?
Yeah, I just don't know if it was IO at the time.
Yeah.
It was done as a group, yes.
Yeah, but I was trying to think, because I remember everybody in the community center.
Yeah, we all met here, and everybody took a share, a portion of what they were going to pay.
But we don't know if it was...
But it could have been done individually as
like,
to be
yeah.
I think it probably was, yeah.
With that, wasn't that borrowed internally from the township's reserves?
Yeah, we had some way of doing that in the past. Like I say, it wasn't borrowing from the government and any fund they'd set up, so it was internal.
Mm-hmm.
A number of our projects, our third projects, were all done internally. Yeah.
I guess to borrow, in terms of borrowing, if you can get, I don't know how you could borrow your money from the bank, I don't know how that would work, but...
We never tried, so...
Yeah, I don't know how we'd work that, but I guess we could pay the bank.
I think we have. I think you did one time look at comparables of what it would cost with borrowing from IO compared to borrowing from one of the banks, and the interest rate and debenture costs over. I think that calculation was done at one point in time, and
mm-hmm.
we've seen that there was a bit of a difference, and that's why we've always sort of decided to go with IO for debentures, just because the amount they add on top of prime is quite minimal compared to not as much as the banks anyways. Anyways, we can still look into that and see what kind of difference there is.
Now, maybe you don't have this, but is it going to make a dent in the waiting list at all? I guess it'll help, but the waiting list right now is so...
Is 100.
100?
Yeah. So yes, it will make small net, but it's like this everywhere. The waiting lists for long term care are huge. So, but it is better than not 22 units is what we figured. That would be better than nothing, I guess.
Okay, any further questions? Well, thanks very much for the presentation.
Thank you. I look forward to hearing.
Sooner rather than later. I know.
Thank you.
Thanks, Pam.
So we have resolution 25-507, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Pekkanen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the deputation from Pam Wayne, Chair of the Belvedere Heights Board of Management, requesting financing through a debenture for the new 22-bed addition at Belvedere Heights Home for the Aged. Discussion? Councilor Haskell?
Yeah, Rojan, you mentioned about the $800,000 figure. Is that figure and the annual amount for principal and interest to be paid?
Yeah. Well, actually, you know what? I'll give you a copy of this when I've done the calculation, so you can understand.
Yeah, that's what I kind of figured, Rojan. We'll probably come up with something soon as to how much wiggle room we would have if we committed to this going down the road. And if we were to borrow for a large, it would almost think it have to be a very large project that would become maybe close to unaffordable, but obviously he's going to get us some figures.
And there are some large projects.
Would be nice.
just what the wording here, requesting financing through the venture. Now, she stood here and said it's not going to cost us anything. So I'm just wondering about the actual, how that would be interpreted. Guaranteed financing or something? I don't know.
Thank you.
Worded.
Thank you.
So that was just a friendly amendment to that resolution that I just read, requesting guaranteed financing through the venture. Any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
Can I just ask a question, Rochon?
Yes.
It's a simple question. According to the IO website, I think, I mean, it provides quite a lot of detail about how that number is calculated, and it says it actually should appear on our financial information return.
Yeah.
But yet, and they have a link to it, at least for 2024.
Right.
But that number does not appear on the link. Anyway, I'm not saying it wasn't in the FIR, it was just it wasn't there. I randomly looked at a couple of other municipalities too, and it does not appear there. But
I think you you have to specifically look at this FIR for that municipality and that year you will find it, because it's FIR is a combination of different tabs,
yeah.
And there's 70-80 tabs, so each one have different information, so
okay.
You will find one of the tabs have the...
But to your knowledge, when you filed the last one, probably the 24 one,
yeah.
That number appeared on there? In other words, our...
Yeah,
if you want to
it should
that.
Be there, FIR 2024.
Okay.
So that 24...
It might well have been, but I couldn't find it, so...
24 one, it shows $1 million something repayment limit.
Okay.
But that, since some of the principal and interest on the loans coming out in 2025, that's why if you look at the 2025, you know, if you look at my calculation,
yeah.
This amount actually lower.
Okay.
That's being picked up, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
You're good. I'm reading it on the
phone. Okay.
So we have resolution 25-508, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Haskin. Be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby move into committee the whole at
1:35
p.m. to receive a staff presentation of the draft 2026 capital budget to allow Council the opportunity for review and discussion. Just one quick amendment, Council and the public. It's a committee of the whole, so maybe that's understood. But discussion? But just a friendly amendment, Council and the public. Opportunity for review and discussion. Call the question then, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. This is where my agenda ends as far as procedure, so I'll turn it over to Rochon, I guess, on how we want to approach this. And I guess we have two department heads here, so is that how we want to approach? Maybe you want to do a preliminary intro before they do their requests.
Thank you very much, for Mr. Mayor and Council, for giving me an opportunity to present the 2026 capital budget. While the full details are in the report, I'll provide a brief summary. The total requested amount for next year capital budget is $5,238,366. This includes the carryover project of Hardwell Road, which begins earlier and will be completed in 2026. That project accounts for $1.9 million. So if you remove that project, then the total new project amount is $3,338,366. These projects will be funded through the levy, grants, and the reserves. However, if we proceed with all proposed projects, the levy requirement will increase by over 83% compared to 2024. That's why today's discussion is so important for the future of the Mikkeler. I also want to thank the department heads and clerk and administrator for their assistance in preparing the budget. By the end of this meeting, our goal is to finalize the list of projects for the next budget meeting, which will include both the operating and capital budget.
Excellent. Except for that figure you come up with. So there might be some cutting and slashing here. So, okay, I think the way you've set it up, maybe that's probably the best way to approach it.
Sure.
Through your charts. Is this available online? Not through a slideshow.
No.
So anybody watching would have to go to the website to find it?
Yes.
Okay.
So the first department is the administration department, and we are requesting $112,000 for the new projects. Out of that, $9,000 is for the website upgrade. The current website upgrade, current website is kind of at the end of the life, so that's why we need a new website, and the cost of that project is $9,000. Accounting software, we've been talking about the accounting software for the last couple of years, and again, you know, the cost has been increasing, so the cost of the accounting software is estimated amounts of $100,000. And that will improve the financial and the payroll and data processing and reporting. Front desk workflow. Right now, we don't have front desk. So basically, when the customer comes in, the administrative assistant had to go and deal with the customer. So we don't have computer at the front desk. So that's why we need a front desk computers to deal with all the matters right away.
Now, when the people come to the front desk, is there any, if they have to get into discussion, I'm thinking CBO, that's fine, but if they had other things like cemetery questions or whatever, is there a room they can go into with a computer, or is it better to have the computer right there to work with? It's all standing up, so is there another?
All the cemetery records are paper, so the deputy clerk typically brings people into the council chambers where she can lay out the maps so that plots can be chosen, so there's no need for a computer with cemetery equipment.
Okay. Now, I don't know whether you wanted to speak to the website.
So our current website provider is GHD. They contacted us about a year ago now to say that our website would no longer be supported. In turn, they had given us a $12,000 bill to migrate to their new software. Myself, the deputy clerk, and the administrative assistant are the three primary users of our website. We demoed the new platform that GHD would be moving us to. It is similar to what we currently have now. I know the council does have a few concerns with our current website, as do the users. It is hard to manage. There's glitches. We are just not happy with our current website platform. Therefore, we went to a few website vendors, had demos. The three of us sat in on demos. Some of the website providers offered us a test website to go on the back end. Our administrative assistant deeply dove into that and played around with it. We all agreed that we preferred the Up and Up website, which the initial migration cost would be $9,000, and the annual cost would be
less than what we are currently paying for our current website. The town of Kearney uses their Up and Up's website for their website, so if you wanted to go to kearney.ca and check out that, it would be similar to what our new McKellar website would be.
Councilor Rudd?
Did we ask Near North Business Systems for any of their advice, input, insight, whatever words you want me to use?
I did. They did have a person that worked at Bracebridge that would do websites. The municipal websites are very important because we have a lot of legislative things that we need to post, such as agendas, minutes, and notices. So we wanted to go with a company that was one Canadian and two had a vast experience with municipal and government sites. Up and Up was that, and the other vendors we contacted did also have municipal clients. So yes, our IT provider was consulted.
Okay. Just makes sense, that's all. Okay.
And there's a time on that too. You said the other one's shutting down. So.
The current website will no longer be useful to us June 30th of 2026. So that's why we're bringing it to council's attention now. The budget will likely be passed in the spring, but we will need to start migrating to the website as soon in 2026 as possible. So after a few budget discussions, staff will likely bring a resolution to council to direct staff to procure the website prior to the budget being passed, just with time constraints, as our old website will be needing to be migrated to a new website. And we need to have that seamless so that the website doesn't experience any downtime.
So, Carly, it says it won't be supported, right, in 2026. So is there any guarantee when you go to another one that how long it will be good for? Or?
GHD is a global company, and they are American, so that's why we were primarily looking for Canadian vendors. GHD has been bought up by other companies, and this is why they've pushed us to a new software. So being with a Canadian company, that the likelihood of them being bought out by a bigger company and us having to do this process again is minimal.
Okay, good.
And we're kind of want to put you on the spot here, but I know I should say we've been talking for a few years about the accounting software and how is this actually going to help in your situation? You've investigated, I guess, to come up with this.
Yeah, actually, you know, we mentioned a couple of times in previous meetings too that, you know, we currently have two softwares. One is specifically for the taxes, and other one is for the GL accounting. So those two software doesn't talk to each other.
Okay.
So at the end of each month or each year, I have to pretty much manually do all the entries and, you know, reconcile all the data to the GL accounting software. And normally, when you buy any software, you need to have all the components in one place instead of two places. So that creates a problem. And the other one is that, you know, you have seen an accounts payable report that, you know, the way they're printing the reports and, you know, it doesn't cooperate with our understanding. So, and there's other issues too. So that's why I was looking for the better software, and I was hoping that you know, in coming years I will get it.
Well, you get first crack at it here, Jen.
Sorry.
I was just gonna say, so do you think it'll be okay? You'll find something.
Hopefully, because no software is perfect. Always be there are some issues with every software. So, but now it is the time that we need to update the software.
Speaking of time, any idea of the timeline for this?
Well, it will take at least a year to you know, transfer the data, and if we go with the new software, so there's a couple of options. One is that you transfer the TM data to our current Assist software for the GL and accounting. That's one of the options. Other option is totally you go with the new software. You know, you instead of having TMM and Assist, you totally go with the new software, and that you know, it will be a totally new software. So that's the other option.
And again, with the we have with the website, the timing of all this, would there be a resolution at some point where, if it is a new company as such, to do it all, is there at some point in time when you need all of this in place, even though our budget and main discussions don't take place until the spring, it says?
Correct, and I'm not in a hurry in the sense because interim billing is coming in February, and I don't want any disruption before that. So most probably after that, between the interim billing and the final billing, that's what the ideal time. And if I couldn't, like, if there's no window in between that, then maybe after the final billing.
Okay. Councilor Ryan?
Yeah.
Can I suggest from 40 years of experience that no matter what you think, that the effort to do it will be a lot more? And I know you know that part. My question is, I think that perhaps we should consider getting you some temporary assistance to help with things, because if we're trying to run old and new, even if it's only for a short time, it becomes quite exhausting. And I've gone through, I couldn't tell you how many things like this, but and everybody always underplays the personal effort that it takes to manage the transition. So, and whether or not you could identify somebody that could help for a while, or whether the company will, or whether we ask Near North, I mean, whatever works is my opinion. But don't discount how much disruption it will cause in your day to do this. So,
no, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. But then we have so many other projects, so I'm not sure about that, having assistant, but then, yeah, I appreciate
it. The right assistant, and I'm not really talking about an assistant per se, just somebody that can come and help out with whatever you need help with on a day.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So,
Councilor Zulai.
So you just keep that in the back of your mind, that if you find that you're starting to drown, don't be afraid to come and ask for some kind of help.
No, we have a very good team, so
yeah.
Carly and Megan and Mary always been there to help me out, so.
Sure.
Good.
Excellent. Well, our fire, I guess Rob had to call.
Okay. and it's serious and urgent, so.
Okay.
So you said he didn't need any of the money in here?
Yeah.
Thank God.
Actually, he told me
he's come
on.
You can have his share, is that what he said?
Yeah.
So Public Works is next.
Correct. Yeah. Next is Public Works Department.
Few projects on the go.
A couple.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can start with the Hartwell Road construction. That's
okay.
A page on page 15.
Right.
So first phase of the project completed. The second phase will be next year, and hopefully by next year, October, it will be done, right?
Yes. Earlier the better is what we're hoping. We're pushing for anyway. Because it's already budgeted for last year and approved, so.
And just looking at figures, I know we'll get down to the actual figures later, but out of that debenture that we had done, what was it, 3 million?
2 million.
And what's left in that, or do we know it at this particular
so
point?
So whatever the amount was, I transferred in the reserve, and out of that reserve, 1.9 million is specifically we're using for this project.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I know you can't say that's sufficient or not, but
based on phase one, it's looks like it's sufficient, but you can't, like you said, you can't say.
Yeah.
Because everything will be out to tender here in the spring. But we look like we're on track.
Sounds good.
So second project is Hardy's Road. The total cost, estimated cost, even though by the report is 1.9, we realize that some of the items on the report we can our Public Works Department can do. That's why I have only put $1.5 million in the project cost, and it's 2 kilometer running from the Hardwell Road to the Lindsay Road, and the study is completed by Tulak Engineering.
Okay, so that study is complete now?
It is complete, yep. Just.
And you've looked at what township can do and sort of be a coordinated effort then?
Yeah, yes, be a coordinated effort. It's there's lots of maintenance to do, so I don't want to commit to anything, so the budget figure that the Roshan has come up with, I think, is a realistic budget figure. And if we can do more, we may be able to reduce that cost to the township. However, we don't want to sacrifice, general maintenance that needs to be done around the rest of the township, as we were talking about turnarounds and stuff like that. It all takes time.
And time-wise, what were you thinking there? You talked about spring for the second part of Birdville. For the Hardee's?
Hardee's, same thing. You want to get going on it as soon as you can because you want to be done sort of that October 1st
mm-hmm.
deadline because it gets too late to pave. You know, or this design is using a double surface treatment like the rest of our roads. And we can discuss that further later, costing on that. But you want to do that in good weather.
Yeah,
it's more weather sensitive than hot mix asphalt.
I'm just wondering about the coordination of this with Hertel. I mean, we don't have that many companies that bid on these projects. So are we looking at maybe a possibility of both projects occurring at the same time? Or
that could be. This one I think we can save some money on if we do similar to we did that portion of Center Road where we let it out in smaller contracts. So when the ditch blasting is identified on a plan, we put a tender for ditch blasting and have a company come in and do that.
Okay.
And you know, if the Public Works Department can do the general ditching, that's great. If not, we can let it out as one tender. Smaller tenders, we might get more interest from some local companies. And maybe get it done more efficiently.
Councilor Zulak.
So when do you think the tenders would go out? Because like we can't wait till the budget's passed, right?
No, I wouldn't think so.
No,
I mean,
because
the
it might
certain
be
things are going to have to be earmarked, I guess,
yeah.
as part of the budget before the whole budget is passed, perhaps.
Yeah.
That's exactly my wonder, because that's what happens every year with every municipality, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Roshan has an answer for
us. I don't have an answer, but then definitely to help the council in decision making, just have a question to Tom. Can we do Hardee's Road in two phases?
No.
Well, that was sort of my thought as well, because the main concerns and complaints we've had have been from Harris to Lindsay's Lane. So, you know, if that was phase one, and then phase two is from Hurtville Road to Harris Road the following year?
There's very little work to do between Hurtville Road and Harris. The road's in not that bad a shape, except that the surface is at the end of its life, or past the end of its life, so it's not repairable. We can't, you know, slurry seal it or micro seal it and bring it back to life. So that portion of the contract is relatively small. It's a little bit of ditching. Make sure the culverts are good. I think they are. Make sure they're plastic, because we're going to put a new top over them. We don't want steel under there. So it's not a significant portion of the contract. And then when we do 2 kilometers of double surface treatment, is more economical to do than 1 kilometer. I think they got to come twice. If it's the price would be quite a bit higher.
I'm just concerned about the number that we heard of the total increase in the levy of something 80-something%. Was that accurate?
Yeah.
With the current capital projects in this version here.
I think that will be our responsibility. We'll have to do these in particular order. Some could be left, you're right. But it's making all kinds of sense here that for the short distance from Hurdville into Harris, that you might as well combine it with the other as far as doing that project. You either pay for it now or you pay for it the following year.
So do you have about an estimate what that breakdown would be for the stretch from Hurtville?
No, I don't, but I can break it out. I can't do it off the top of my head, but I can before next meeting.
Yeah, just my personal opinion is if that section of road is still holding out reasonably well, then you know with asset management you're trying to hit the sweet spot. You know, stretch the asset lifespan out as best as long as possible, particularly because there are some projects that are not listed here that you know possibly council would consider So that, but anyways, we can discuss those later. But anyways, just I think if we, that percentage is quite concerning, the 80-something percent. So I think we need to have an open mind and everything that's being decided.
I agree. I don't know what the answer is, but I don't think postponing part of it is the answer, because there's many other projects waiting in the wings. The surface is starting to degrade rapidly. As we've noticed in Hardy's Road, it degraded very rapidly. And Camp Road is not far behind, and neither is Holly's. So right now, I don't think we can say no to Hardy's Road. I get easily 3 complaints a week.
Well, I wouldn't be saying the section from Harris Road and to Lindsay Lane. That's an absolute number one on my list for this year. But if there was a like phase one, phase two from Herdville to Harris, because if it breaks down sort of 900,000 for that section, and then $1 million for Harris to Lindsay Lane, $900,000 is approximately 22% of that 83% of the tax levy increase. So if we can, if it does break down that we can knock off already a quarter of that concerning 80%, 80 just by doing into phase one, phase two, that might be an option. That we don't want to delay anything, but once again, it would be nice with an asset management spreadsheet so we can see how things are playing out in the long term, like looking at all the roads, just so we know what is coming online in the next couple of years.
I agree with you 100%, and we don't have that spreadsheet in front of us, but I have it in my head. And I know by postponing half of the road, you're putting 2027 at risk of being as high or higher. You know what I mean? We've got lots of them waiting in the wings, as you know. I know you're working hard on this as I am, and it's a puzzle we'll have to figure out together.
Yeah.
To get them
done. And that's okay. Just looking at that as one of the options.
So. Yeah, for sure. And it is an option, and it backfired on us on Herdville Road. Remember, we were going to not do that 300-meter section, and that was Bob's suggestion. We could save a little bit of money, and it's in good shape. And over last winter, it kind of fell apart, and we ended up adding it to this contract this summer. It was 300 meters of road that looked pretty good, in 2024.
Yeah, obviously, there'll come a point where we're well over what we can actually do. I mean, with the figures, you're right too. I mean, if we push that down the road, in a sense, it's going to at some point accumulate in the future for another council coming in, and I think we have to go certainly with Tom's knowledge of the roads and what conditions they're in, and be proactive. And you're right. I mean, if you spend that now, it's something you can't spend on something else. But we can't keep pushing it ahead either, because then it just accumulates. Then what do you do?
And then they all accumulate, and one of the things that aren't on the list is Center Road.
I know we have quite a few. We can jump ahead to Center Road because we've got it later here. And that you bringing that up is exactly what my goal is to do as a public works superintendent. Center Road, if we could do something with it right now, would be much cheaper to do than when we can get to it after we finish all these other things. Because you can see it's not in too bad a shape. We've got a few dips in there that need to be addressed, and I know how to fix them. And we've got a bad corner that I know how to fix. If you could fix those spots and micro seal the whole thing, I'd be a hero, because I've got another 7 kilometers of that road done, and the price tag won't be too high compared to doing 2 kilometers for $1.9 million. But that requires doing it at the proper time. Right now we're doing it after they failed. The road has failed, so we're obligated. We're going to do it.
Yeah.
See, a double surface treated road, the recommended lifespan of it is 7 to 10 years. And I think Hardy's is probably double that at this point.
Yeah, that was.
So it should have been looked at a long time ago, But it wasn't too bad, so we didn't, like you said, getting ahead of that curve and getting them redone what before they fall apart.
Yeah. 11 years ago it was on.
11, yeah.
So yeah, so you mentioned Center Road. What, that was approximately 6 kilometers or 7 kilometers?
I'd like to have a study done here on page 17, like we did on Hardee's, but I'd like them to do the study now for the balance of the road, the section from the village out to the new part and from Lee's Road to the corner at Herdville, so we know what we're dealing with.
So, yeah, so I agree the studies are very useful and, you know, addresses the root cause of why the surface is deteriorating. And I agree that the section from the village to Veterans Memorial Bridge would be good to, you know exactly what's causing, you know, have an engineer report that's giving a, but so in regards to the stretch from Lee's Road to Herdville Road, because the majority of it is in really good shape, you can drive the speed limit there without any problems. And even when you compare the section that was paved from Veterans Memorial Bridge to Lee's Road, once, if the section from Lee's Road to Herdville Road was micro-sealed with the one corner fixed, I'm sure the drivability would be comparable because the section that was just repaved is not smooth on glass. You feel humps and bumps, and that would be probably very similar to the section from Herdville Road to Lee's Road if it was, you know, surface treated like a slurry seal or micro seal, whatever you feel is the best option. And what was it? That section from Center Road, or sorry, from Herdville Road to Lee's Road, is that approximately 6 kilometers?
I think it is. Somewhere around.
So with micro seal being approximately $45,000 per kilometer, according to some of the other estimates that are provided here.
Yeah.
So that section to micro seal it from Herdville Road to Lee's Road would be approximately $270,000. And phase one of Hardee's Road from Herdville Road to Harris Road, if you look at that as, you know, approximately $900,000, and that's in pretty decent shape and does not have the traffic flow as that stretch of Center Road from Herdville Road to Lee's Road, plus fixing up that corner, that might be the option that would give quite a bit of extended lifespan on that road, and be something that most people would see that improvement on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, just a thought.
Yeah, it'll be significantly more than that, but yeah. And that's, you're taking the risk because how old is that surface? Microseal isn't the magic fix.
Just covers what's there.
Yeah.
For a period of time.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Perry's, it's being used quite extensively.
Yeah, Perry Sound did some, so just so you know, this is why I'm very hesitant. Like, I don't want to be the guinea pig because it's an expensive guinea pig, okay? Perry Sound did some last year because the road was cracked. It was real hot mix asphalt, several layers, probably 5.5 inches, the way the streets are built. So they did several streets. The cracks were back the next spring. They did them in the fall, and the cracks were back the next spring. And it's the cracks that are causing the problem. You've got to figure the water goes in the cracks, it pops the pothole. So they spent several $100,000, and they're not sure if it was the right thing to do. That's my idea of the engineer study first. So I want them to tell me it's going to work, not a salesman from the person selling the microseal.
And the other major road done was Osler Park Drive?
Osler Park was just done this year by Siegman, and let them be the guinea pig. Let's watch it. Because if they can do that there, we can do that from the village out to Veterans Memorial Bridge. Because it's asphalt. Hot mix asphalt, it's not double surface treatment, and it's past the end of its life, and if there's a way to microseal that and get another 5 or 10 years out of it, I'm on board, because that's several million dollars going out to Veterans Memorial Bridge.
That would be a wonder product if you could.
Yeah, but we let's get the study done and
right.
watch our neighbors to see how it lasts. That's my opinion.
Yeah, because that is in pretty rough shape just before you get to the bridge. Councilor Zulak.
Well, I was just thinking if you get this study done, who knows, maybe, God willing, we might get a grant. And if we have the study,
that's
then
true.
We're ready.
That's a very good point. And because if we've got it sitting on a shelf and a grant comes available, we can say, hey,
yeah.
we need to do this.
Yeah.
And that's where we need to be as a public works department. Is we need to have some projects ready to go.
Mm-hmm. So as you say, what three of the different projects, and we have more to add to the list. Some cutting at some point for this year, certainly. I think these are all certainly needed. It's just a question of what are the priorities, I guess, as we go through them.
Yeah, well, I agree with Councillor Kekkonen that it would be great to get on that center road, but I'm not sure that the others can wait, that we can save enough money elsewhere to. But you guys make those financial decisions, not me.
Okay.
Next one is the broadband bridge. Estimated cost of $100,000, and that was the reported in 2025 bridge study.
So again, the situation there would be a contract.
We would have to contract that. That's a very complicated job. Basically, in the way I look at it, I put it in layman's terms and described it to Carter this year. The floor joists have rotted out on one end of the bridge.
Yeah.
If it was a house, the floor joists are. The web is gone out of the middle of the floor joists. So, and I knew it was there. Our public works crew found it a few years ago, and Bob Hughes has looked at it. And our bridge studies have never picked it up, so I was waiting to see if Tulloch did, and they did a very good job. They found it, and it is more of a problem than the past studies have said. So it's urgent to get it done. We reached out to Tulloch, and they said, you know, next spring is fine, but it should be done. If there is a failure in that floor joist, what it'll do is cause a severe pothole.
Right.
Not the bridge isn't going to fail, and somebody's going to fall in the river or something. But it's a project that should be done in 2026.
Mm-hmm. So is that something, again, you prepare a RFP for or tender?
That'll be... I think we would probably have to lean on an engineer and put out a tender just like we did for the railing on Hurdville Bridge.
Right, okay. Councilor
Kerrigan? Reading through the bridge report, it was amazing that you know, they were suggesting sandblasting and painting of Grail Bridge, but none of the bridge reports in previous years mentioned that option, I believe, for the Broadbent Bridge. You know, so, you know, how was that not presented as an option just so that we could be proactive in our asset management to ensure that we're not in a position like this where all of a sudden we're dealing with a $100,000 repair compared to whatever the estimate was for comparable estimate was.
Yeah, and exactly, I don't know if you remember, last year we had... we came to you and said that we need to get a more enhanced bridge study done, and it cost us a little bit more money. We put out a tender and actually saved some money. A local company did it, so saved us some money, but they were our provider. Previous provider was upping their costs from
significantly
from $8,000 to $18,000 because they felt we needed a more significant study as well. So we decided to put it out to tender, and the more significant study gives us better results. As we can see, we can do better planning for maintenance.
Yeah, so I think it's beneficial to, you know, switch out the vendors occasionally. Because even when you did review the bridge reports from the same firm year after year, and you compared them page for page, there wasn't a lot of changes. So
yeah.
Then it's like, how much work and how much inspection is really going on? So.
Yeah, and we've switched to an OSIM report as opposed to, and I can't remember the acronym for the last one that's been used for years. OSIM is a little bit different. They get a little more in depth, and that's why there's a higher cost. So I think it's, I don't know if the word is paid off for us, but it's paid off for us and for planning purposes anyway.
Good, thanks. And the only drawback is Councilor Ryan said we need page numbers on there, identification for that report.
Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah.
this report suffers from the same problem. It does. You get in that, get to the last half, there's no page number on it. And it's not just a pet peeve, it's a practical consideration. If you're talking to people, you need to say, I'm on page X, and you can read it too. So
then the next item for public works here is
Microseal
project, which we do a little bit every year.
What page are you on, sir?
16. It's top, the bottom of 16, so it's really the meat of it is the top of 17.
Okay.
Two projects identified, puts us at a total cost of $130,000 for Microseal. I think that's sort of in line with what we've done in other years. And I still have, and this is what past roads departments have done, is after it's double surface treatment, within a year, a couple of years, they will put a Microseal on it, and it extends the life by quite a bit. And they've been successful in doing this, so I want to continue that program. We look at a 7 to 10 year life, we're actually getting the 10 and maybe even better if we do it this way. So that gets most of the road. There's one more. I don't think McKellar Lake Road has been done yet, and it was surface treated a couple of years ago. But it would be at least another 90. We didn't add it to this, but it's there for the.
So how come you're recommending Microseal compared to slurry seal?
It just worked. Because if I talk to some engineers, they'll tell you that slurry seal is more flexible and it's the way to go. Microseal gives the public a better ride. It fills in imperfections because there is actual some substance to it. I equate it to slurry seal is like tar and dust. Microseal is tar and screenings. The same stuff we use for winter sand. So it's got some body to it, and it seems to fill in the potholes, and the public is happy after it's done. The cost is not that significant, the difference in cost. And a year ago, I would have argued with you.
And you did.
You did, yes. And I know that's why you're asking, because Bob Hughes was on me, you have to do slurry seal. You can't do microseal. And so I did my homework, and I talked to all the vendors that sell that stuff down at Good Roads, and they claim that the micro is just as flexible as the slurry, which is what Bob's concern was, because the flex makes the cracks, and then the cracks let the water in. If micro is the better product, then that's the way we go.
Okay. Thank you.
Because it's proven to work, because that's what previous road superintendents have always done, Kevin and Greg. They've always leaned towards Microseal, and when I was at Whitestone, I leaned towards the slurry based on my engineer's advice, and I think the micro has worked better. Councilor Pizzula?
I don't think when Kevin was on, never had Microseal.
No,
it was always tar and chip, and then tar and chip got worse and worse and worse, and it was just chip, no tar.
And
I think the Microseal is more like a tar and chip.
It is more like the tar and chip. It's got just smaller aggregate.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at
it
too. That's exactly the way I would describe it.
Yeah. Because I know when they, at the end, when they were doing tar and chip, it just looked like they put gravel on the road.
Yeah.
I was down there, where is the tar?
Instead of the 7 year plus or something for tar and chip, it was 2 years sometimes.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah, the base, the strength of the base has a lot to do with it, and that's the failure on Hardee's, is that section that's bad, the base has failed.
So this inroad that goes right to the end, the turnaround?
Nope.
Just to the golf course?
Just to the golf course entranceway, and for some reason we only did a double surface treatment to there, and the rest of it,
for some reason,
it must have been in good shape. We must have made, let's do a phase two to save some money, and it's not in that great a shape. If we could make me a bigger budget, I would take that Microseal right to the end. To see if it preserved that, that's what the salesman told us. Do it every few years and it'll last forever. But I don't believe them after watching our neighbors.
Because it does go in to another subdivision that dedicated road in there, we've never touched. But
it's been it's probably double the distance I've got.
Yeah.
So
So
yeah, I realized when that was all done, of course, that's what the golf course was just in its early stages, and we asked for some donation from the company as well. I don't know whether we ever got it from them, but and maybe that's, you know, not out of line of game to ask for something like that. It does increase, certainly it's a better experience for the people coming there. Those who don't fly in, if they have to come by road, then you know, the road would be in much better shape. But I'm not sure. They changed hands a couple of times now, so I'm not sure whether we can even approach them for a donation. But Council Mazula.
Well, it doesn't hurt. All they can say is no. And then again, they could say, okay, we can give you something. If it, you know, if it increases their clientele. So what I was going to say is getting extra money for the roads, because in my mind, the roads are the most important thing, because they have been failing for years with nothing put into it. Are you willing to, how are the vehicles? Are you willing to forego the vehicles for?
this is all asset management that we're talking about, and we're doing it off the cuff. So, if you ask me the question, I say no, because we've kept the trucks longer than we should keep trucks.
No,
recommended by, you know, an asset manager would be a fleet manager would be, you know, keep a truck 7 years. You've got the best of its life out of it. You put the least amount of repairs into it, and that's got the highest value for a trade-in. So keep them 7 years.
Do you think you'd get anything? Do you think you'd get anything for a trade-in?
For
the trucks?
Not for the 2011 two-wheel drive Chevy.
Right.
So, so my thoughts were that we always need an extra vehicle around. It's not, doesn't get a lot of miles put on it. It we'd keep it for like a shop truck, for an extra truck around the works garage, and get a crew cab for the parks department would be ideal.
I know it would be ideal, but I'm just trying to figure what can you afford to cut.
Tom's voice is being picked up.
Yeah, it is.
What I can afford to cut.
Like, if you're concerned with the roads, would cutting something like one of the vehicles help?
For the same reason that Councillor Kekkonen and I just talked about, no, because if you turn the page, Roshan's done a neat little thing here for showing us what we need over the next 5 or 6 years.
No, I know.
And I'm sure you've read it, and there's $1.5 million just in trucks. Because when you keep them too long, they either fail on you or they cost you too much money. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what the answer is.
Why don't you?
Because I'm old-fashioned just like you are, and I don't believe in borrowing. But our neighbors are now leasing heavy trucks. Our neighbors are now leasing all the staff pickup trucks. Seguin's leasing them all. They don't buy trucks anymore. Mm-hmm. Canoe has a program that they go through that they lease their pickup trucks. So it's a way that you're not touching that capital reserve to get a new serviceable vehicle for the departments. And the operating budget is now, the operating side of the budget is now putting the cost for that. It doesn't save the overall budget any money, but it spreads it out.
So Roshan, the leasing, is that...
that's one of the suggestions, that if the... we go with the leasing, then we will have that amount for our capital, other items, other projects.
Right.
And if we look into some leasing where it covers our maintenance cost, then the saving on the operating, you know, the amount we put in the operating budget for the maintenance, we can use that money for the leasing. So 7 year leasing pretty much is the common, right? And that will have the warranty and everything. That will cover our maintenance costs too. So if we go with that one, then we will have a saving, and then we can utilize that amount.
Yeah, I think what we're running into, we need that sort of opened up a little bit, what we can actually access. It's somewhat liquid, so the leasing makes sense.
So just wondering, in regard to how much use each truck gets, the new Ram 550?
5500. Yeah.
So is that a truck that maybe could be the public works superintendent's main truck? Like, you know, with the amount of driving that you do compared to how often that truck actually gets used for, I'm not sure how much it gets used.
It gets used a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, that's their daily driver. It's the crew's truck. That's, if they're going patching potholes, fixing signs, whatever they're doing that day, it goes.
Councillor Haskell?
Yes, to talk about the lease that Rojan was talking about, because of such a bind that we're in, I think we're going to have to look at for sure getting Rojan to price that into our next version of budget, is to lease any new vehicle such as the Super with the plow on for the 130. So instead of forking at 130,000 this year, we're going to have to think about 20,000 per year for 7 years. Basically, and if we do agree to upgrade the parks truck, that we're probably going to have to do that with that one also. Is that a possibility too, Rodan, that still keeps us within limits and stuff?
I was thinking, and we are going to look into that, the backhoe we are supposed to purchase this year. We haven't purchased yet, so we can look into the leasing that backhoe, saving a $200,000 right there.
We'll have those prices together for the December 2nd meeting. And we're asking, I have the prices now. They scared you, I told you. But I've asked them now to bring forward leasing options, because if you look at that $1.5 million we need for trucks between now and 2031, it might help us out, because it leaves that $200,000 we allocated for the backhoe in the equipment reserve.
Councilor Ryan?
Rashad, if we borrow money to buy a vehicle or lease a vehicle, does that impact our IO limit at all?
Yeah, if you are borrowing from the IO, yes.
Sorry?
If we are borrowing from IO, then...
Okay, but no, if we were borrowing for another purpose, does that factor into it? In the description that I read today, it doesn't say anything about any, if you want to call them, this cash borrowings. In other words, if we borrowed to buy this desk, right, that doesn't factor into our IO limit.
It will.
Because they take into account other debt, too?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, because that's the issue about leasing versus buying and so on. But yeah.
So if we lease?
Well, lease is not a kind of borrowing, so leasings will be fine. I doubt it. I have to look into that. But
okay.
Yeah.
I didn't see that pop up anywhere. It doesn't mention that. It just mentions our tax levy and our fees and charges,
right?
But it didn't mention anything else, like, you know, other borrowings, right?
Yeah.
So
one thing, sorry to interrupt the leasing conversation, we just need to do more work on that. One thing we can do to cut costs on the trucks is I could plow with the new, if I've got in here to buy a plow for the truck, because the old truck had one, the one we replaced. Buy a plow for that truck we bought last year, the Ram 5500. We could get a lesser truck for the road superintendent, so it'd be much cheaper. Put the money towards the plow for the truck, but then I could drive a smaller truck and plow with the 5500.
But what would be the difference?
It'd save us potentially 30 to $50,000.
Yeah.
Archipelago bought an electric truck, one of those Ford Lightnings. With the subsidy, they only cost them $50,000 for
a
brand new truck.
50, did you say?
50. He got it last spring.
What subsidy are you referring to?
Because it's an electric vehicle.
Okay.
So
it's worth looking into.
Yeah.
That's half the price of a gas one.
I know.
We don't have a charging station.
Yeah. Do we need charging machines here?
We already turned that down.
Anyway, it's just a thought. Like, even if the road super, because I needed to get to look at things, right? Right now, I plow with the guys. I plow the parking lot out here. I plow a bunch of things around the village. I plan on plowing Fox Farm Road. But if I could do that with the 5500, we could get lesser truck. I mean, you could go to a Chevy S10. All I need is transportation.
Or an Austin Mini.
Well.
With a trailer.
If I had a trailer, I could keep my laptop in the trailer.
Can you turn around the 5500 on Parks Park?
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, man.
Anyways, just a thought that we can... This I know this is preliminary, and these things we're talking about between the staff can get answers to those options to see what we can reduce.
So, Dave?
Yes, go ahead.
So, Roshan, if we lease, you're going to look into that?
Yeah,
if
yeah.
we lease, it may not count against our threshold?
I'll look into that. I'm
okay.
not sure yet, but I'll definitely look into it.
That one page that I looked at is really quite remarkable what you could find out very quickly, but I kept looking and saying, is there more? And you know, I couldn't find those things because logically anybody lending money wants to know the total of your borrowings, not just a borrowing A.
Yeah.
They want to know the others because all of that affects your ability to repay.
Yeah.
Right? So anyway, I'm curious more than anything on what you find. So
sure, I'll look.
Yeah.
Now, Councillor Kekkonen had mentioned other projects too to add to this. Like I see the painting of the exterior of the garage. What about the other two bays on the garage? And I look through the asset management, how important that is, the condition of the garage. Is it something that a study should be set aside for at least?
We have that in under facilities, I think.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
For a study for the two bays?
For all buildings.
Cool. Yeah. Okay, because I understand, but just I didn't see it.
Yeah, it seemed like it was just for the community center,
right?
That study, but it's the
we want it for all buildings, don't we? Yeah, all buildings because they give us realistic guidelines on what we should be doing.
Well, that sounds good.
For painting the exterior of the public works garage, does that include the roof as well?
I can get Dave Manchuk to add the roof. I just instructed him on the exterior.
Because if the roof is starting to see some deterioration, be good to check the fasteners and paint the roof because that's getting the most amount of exposure to all the elements.
Yes, absolutely. If we ever do get that addition, that's the time to do it, actually. But yeah, we'll definitely have them look at it. We do have a few leaks that we've had repaired.
So who is doing this study then, looking at this?
We'll have to put it out for a request for proposal from engineering firms.
Okay.
I think Tatum has done it for us in the past. So it's just time to do it again.
And this would be an actual engineer as opposed to technician?
I hope so.
Okay.
Hey, don't knock technicians.
No, I'm not. Do they have to stand behind their license as much as an engineer does? I don't know.
Yeah. Yes, they do.
We can just make it a requirement in the RFP, right? That it needs an engineer stamp on it.
Well, it was interesting because even this book we had, I don't think it's off topic,
yeah.
For the bridges, and PN actually commented based on what the other two people had done, the study.
Yeah.
So, and we never got that for Bailey's. We just got the tech. We never did get an engineer, even though we asked for it.
There's a long story behind it.
Yeah. So we may have skipped over the radios.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was such a big cost, it scared me.
Well, it's bigger than what is written on this paper because I've received the estimate from the service provider, and it's going to be $6,000.
Okay.
They've been up and looked at all the radios to see if they're compatible. Some of them are very old. They've been switched from truck to truck for several generations. But that's the cost of replacing the radios. The cost to hook up to the tower is negligible. It's been done under the fire department's thing.
They don't steal them from the fire department.
Well, they keep track of their inventory.
They expect you to go on call.
But that, I think, that's, I don't know if you want to discuss it, but I think it's a no-brainer. It makes us a lot safer. We don't even have cell service. We get up to in-homes. And these radios, from what I hear, have been terrific. There's no dead zones.
They work everywhere in the car?
I have one gentleman who's a captain, and he used to have to come outside of his house in Broadbent, Chris Summers, in order to answer.
other subject areas then, perhaps, that tie into the public works? You want to do that? You mentioned
I'm flipping here.
The buildings.
You've all read the forecast.
Can I just say something before we go forward? I see that we've got an estimated cost for the roads needs study, and I wasn't part of council at the time, but my understanding of the last Tatum one was 50 grand, 50, not 15. I've been told that several times.
We looked it up. We looked when the last one was done and what the cost was, and we added a bit more for budget.
Okay, well, I mean, that's good, but I'm just, you know.
I'm with you. That's pretty cheap, but if they can do it for that, I'll have more power to
we'll
them.
We'll take it. Right, so.
Maybe they'll base it on what we have already.
This has changed the date.